to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world.
I really want to just kind of talk to you guys and get us started here with just, I guess, my heartbeat for why we're here, why I'm here, why I'm involved in Simple Church, and kind of the road that God has me on. I want to just share. I know there's a lot of folks here that I don't know very well, and that's great. I know a lot of you maybe have heard me say some of these things before, but I pray that God would speak to you in a new and a refreshing kind of a way. I grew up in Kentucky here and worked for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes for 11 years. I didn't become a Christian until I was in high school through the ministry of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and my family didn't go to church growing up. And so whenever I got involved with FCA, it really resonated with me. And God did some amazing things in my school as a high school student that our FCA was involved in. And it was really extraordinary. We saw people come to Christ. We were able to give away a ton of Bibles to our classmates, many of whom, gave away over 200 Bibles. And there was only 60 people in my class. So that gives you an idea. People started wanting Bibles, and it was a really extraordinary thing. Went to the University of Kentucky, and some of you guys know, I had the opportunity to be the mascot there and did that for 3 years, and that opened up more opportunities for me to be involved with FCA. I got involved with FCA, and God really did some neat things there, and I got to kind of see just what happens when normal people start to kind of believe that they are in the ministry and that God can use them to make disciples and reach out to their peers. So that's kind of what happened. And as I started doing that, I've always wrestled with this idea that I should be starting churches. But the more I was involved with FCA, the more that seemed to make sense to me. And what we were doing at church seemed to just not resonate with me as much. And so I wrestled with that for many years. And it's been several years ago now, but I took a church planning class. And that's where I was introduced to what I would now call Simple Church. And basically, I read a book called Church Planting Movements by a guy named David Garrison. And it really connected some dots for me. And I learned in that book about what God was doing all over the globe. I learned that there were places in the world where church planters were starting a church, and they would come back and a year later, and there would be 1,000 churches. And of course, in my mind, I have to kind of scratch my head because I'm thinking, how could that be possible? Because in my mind, a church had to have all of these things in order for it to count. But what I started to learn in the course of that class and in the years since is that what God was doing and what church looked like for so many people across the world, it really looked a whole lot more in some ways like FCA and what I was doing with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And so I had a series of God opportunities pop up, and that's led me here to this endeavor of helping to try to train and encourage people to plant what we would call simple churches. And so I really am excited about what God's doing with this movement, and I believe there is a movement going on across the globe. I think that God wants to do amazing things through more simplistic types of churches, and here in the United States, I don't know that I'll live to see those things come to fruition or not, but I know God's put this call on my life to be a part of it, and I hope that that you'll see why and maybe even be encouraged to join in on that as well if you're not already. But what is Simple Church? And that's what I want to start out talking about. I know for some of you, again, this might be stuff that we've talked about already. And we're going to look at Mark 3, chapter 13, if you want to get your Bible out. We'll come back to that here in a little bit. But what is Simple Church? This is our third year of having this conference, and I thought it might be good for some of you that were here or not here to kind of be reminded of some of the things we've learned the last two conferences. We've been really blessed to have last year Neil Cole, who has written extensively about organic church and simple church ideas and encouraging that in the United States. This was his definition of what is simple church, or really what is the church. And I think for the purposes of this conference, it would be great maybe we could just drop the simple, because I think for those of you that are part of this, you know, we really are just talking about church. It seems like in a world where church can become very complicated, we have to throw in the simple sometimes before that when we're other places. But maybe here we can just say, what is church? And this is how Neil defined it. And he says it's the presence of Jesus among his people, called out as a spiritual family to pursue his mission on the planet. And that seems kind of vague, and perhaps you may remember some of the discussions we've had about that. But I really like that definition because Jesus is at the center of the definition of the church. A lot of times when we define church, Jesus is left out. But in that definition, it's a spiritual family, people who are called out to be a spiritual family and pursue His mission. And it's Jesus' presence is in the middle of all of that. 2 years ago, we had Tony and Felicity Dale come and share with us. And they talked about church, Tony did specifically, as we kind of started, well, where two or three are gathered together, there is Jesus in the midst of them. And he talked about that passage and talked about how where two or three are gathered and Jesus is in the midst of it, then a church is present. And that may stretch your ideas about what church is. Maybe we could talk about whether or not that would be a very, maybe that may not be a very effective church or with only two people in it. But nonetheless, we talked about that idea that church can happen with two or three people when Jesus is there. And that's from the scriptures. And then one thing I've kind of talked about it as a lot of times. I love the idea of doing 2:42, Acts 2:42. And if you think about church as a family, with Jesus at the center, who is doing Acts 2:42, and they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, and the fellowship, and prayer. And that's what it talks about in Acts 2:42, that the early church was devoted to those things. And so these might be some ways that we could think about defining church or simple church. What I'd like to do, some of you guys have seen this before, but I think a really great tool I've used when explaining simple church to people, and it kind of goes along with a lot of what we just described, is the idea of how could you describe simple church to someone on a napkin? If you could explain, or if I could explain to you, what would these definitions maybe visually look like for those that are visual learners? Well, it's a group of people where Jesus is at the center, and if we think about this triangle around it, they're committed to loving God, loving others, the great commandment, and then the Great Commission, we know is to go forth of all the nations, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching people to obey all that He has commanded. So if we think about simple church in this way, as a family, a spiritual family, a group of people who are called out to where Jesus is at the center of everything. He is at the center of the community. He's the leader of the community. He's the pastor, so to speak. It's all about Him, and we're a group of people that are simply called out to love God, love others, and fulfill the Great Commission. I think this can be a great image, and in fact, I think loving God and loving other people in a lot of ways is kind of synonymous with the Great Commission, because we know that if we love God, we'll obey what He says, and of course, He gave us this Great Commission, so you can't really love God without being involved in this Great Commission of making disciples. So I love this visual of simple church. And so what we would say in simple church, that we're people doing this. Now, what I guess the complexity church aspect of things, or why we may have to even call it simple church, is because I think a lot of times what we like to do is we like to put this box around all of this. And over time, we've done this, and there's good things about the box. But the box represents, we could say, it represents buildings and budgets. And then we have to have programs over here a lot of times to run in our buildings. And then we also a lot of times like to put professionals in here. So what simple church is in a way is an attempt to stick to this and intentionally try to not do and not involve ourselves with these other things so that we can focus on what we believe is most important. Church in its simplest form. We want to be a community of people where Jesus is at the center, living out the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, but trying to do it in such a way that we don't get distracted by some of these other things, which again can do good things and all be a part of this, but oftentimes can get us chasing rabbits at times. And so one of the things that I've seen in the last 4 years, and I really think is that a lot of us, we are really excited about simple church because we like the idea of getting rid of the building. You know, we look at that and some people say, well, gosh, what do you know, what if we didn't have a building? What could we do? And it certainly is an amazing thought to think about if literally every place becomes an opportunity and a potential gathering spot for a church family. I mean, it really is amazing to think the potential for multiplication and how many churches could be started, in a sense, if we didn't depend on a building to meet in. And we think, wow, you know, man, budgets, all that. Wouldn't that be great if we could be a part of a church that, man, that didn't have to spend, you know, 90% of our budget on lights and air conditioning and repaving the park. And we get excited about that. And we might even get excited about the idea that, you know, wow, what if we were part of a church where there wasn't, you know, we weren't paying money for these people to do all these things, but that we all were kind of, in a sense, ministers, and we all were, in a sense, clergy, and there wasn't this clergy-laity divide. And for some people, that really excites them. But I think the one thing that seems to kind of, we like to hold on to, and I'm guilty of this, is this idea of programs. We like the idea of having a program. And so what happens and what can happen, and perhaps you've experienced this or wrestled with this, is that we, for those of us who were a part of traditional church, and maybe we were a part of this box, and we have, you know, like me, I'm a product of that. So God's used that greatly in my life. And I think it's probably worth saying again is that I'm not anti-box, okay? But what happens is that we like to hold on to this program idea. And so what happens is we can change to simple church, but now we've simply just changed the kind of church meeting we go to. We've changed the program, essentially. Now rather than going to this program on Sunday morning that involves all of these things, we now just go to a program that meets in a house or at a coffee shop or in a park. And that's where we continue to see kind of as the epicenter of our Christian life, that my Christian life is kind of, everything runs through this meeting that we have every week. And I really wanted to challenge that this weekend and really talk about the idea that simple church is much, much more than a meeting. It is way more than a meeting. It really is about a lifestyle where we're coming together with other people and we're focusing on Jesus and we're living out these things. And sometimes I know that for some of you here, we were actually talking the other night, that God, I think, maybe even doing something and knowing some of y'all's situations is that He's actually taking our meetings away. People are leaving town and people are leaving. And it's like, wow, we don't even have people around to have a meeting. And we might think of that as being a bad thing if we're continually thinking always in terms of the most important thing about my Christian life is that I have a meeting to attend every week with Christian people that looks a certain way, whatever way that might be. But it could also be a real blessing to think that God might be doing something in our midst to help us see that He really wants it to become a 24/7 lifestyle where we are being church all the time, every day. And in some way He might be doing that is to take away our meetings. But I think obviously He wants us to be able to continue to meet with people. But I've wondered about that. So I want to just talk to us about more than a meeting, this idea. What does it mean for Simple Church to be more than a meeting? And what might it look like if we move beyond even clinging to these things? But especially my feeling is that a lot of us, even myself, I like to cling to this program idea. And I think about my Simple Church gathering as like the most important thing. And how could we properly understand the importance of gathering together with Christians, but not as the first thing where we come here to figure out how to do this, but that we're committed in living this out, and this program, the gathering, is just a byproduct of our pursuing Jesus and loving God, loving others, and living out the Great Commission. And I think that's properly, in my opinion, where the gathering kind of fits in context the best. So I want to talk a little bit about two questions that I think are important. Whenever we think about this, living this out. We know the greatest commandment, loving God, loving others, and the Great Commission, when Jesus said, He said, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you to the very end of the age." And so when we read the Great Commission, there it is. I got to get used to talking and controlling this. So there's the Great Commission. This is the part of that what we're here for, the mission of the church. To me, I think there are two questions that we all have to address if we really want to take this call to be living out the simple church idea on this mission with Jesus and living out this triangle. We all have to take ownership of two questions, I think, and they are these two questions. The first one is, what is a disciple? And the second one is, kind of like it, how do you make a disciple? If we're really going to be a community of people that embraces this idea that Simple Church is more than a meeting, but we're a group of people loving God, loving other people, and that gets actualized in something like this Great Commission, then how do we? What is a disciple, and how do we make a disciple? These are two questions that I think are essential for all of us to take ownership in as we think about living out this journey, living out this mission that God has given us. And so I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this. Those of you that have been a part of Simple Church Lives, we've spent a lot of time talking about this. And I encourage everybody to wrestle with this and to let these questions continually be at the forefront of your brain. Discuss these questions with your spouse, with your family. Make sure that this is the focus, because it's so easy to get distracted by all these other things. But how are we going to make disciples? What is a disciple? This is kind of where I'm at with it. And you don't have to adopt my definition by any means, but as I've wrestled with this over the last many years, I love the idea of a person. It's a person who knows Jesus, hears Jesus, and follows Jesus. And I get that, because God keeps bringing me back to this John 10:27 verse that it just seems to make things very simple to me. You know, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." And so, you know, one of Jesus' sheep are someone who knows him. They hear his voice, and they follow him. They listen, and they obey. And so, you know, you may choose a different definition, and that's fine. So, but how do we make a disciple then? If maybe we think about disciple as someone like that, then it's simply about connecting other people to Jesus and his family such that they can know him, hear him, and follow him. And I really believe that's a big part of making disciples, and big part of what we're here about in Simple Church. How do we help other people connect to Jesus so that they can learn to hear him, that they can come to know him, and that they will learn to follow and obey him? And that's really the mission of the church, and that's what we're here about, and that's what Simple Church, I think, is about, living out this Great Commission. Well, I want to spend some time talking about that. You know, what exactly does that look like? And that's kind of what I want to spend the remainder of my time with you guys just kind of introducing. Dave is going to come tomorrow, and one thing that Dave has been a great influence on me in a lot of ways is that when we get together, we're always talking about, well, how did Jesus do things? What if we looked at him not just as a great guy that teaches us great truths, but what if we actually looked at the way and the principles that Jesus lived out? And what if we tried to really model those principles in our own lives and not just come up with, well, how could we get people to know him, hear him, and follow him? Well, I got a great idea. How about we do this thing? Okay, let's do it. Let's spend the money. Let's do whatever we get. And just start running with all these ideas. I think I did that a lot with FCA. I would tell people a lot of times, as God started working with me about this idea of making disciples, and my last few years of FCA, it started to change. But I think for a lot of my life, I just thought, well, I'm going to do a bunch of stuff and hope some of that makes disciples. I'll just throw a bunch of things on the wall of discipleship. We'll do a camp. Well, I'll go speak at this event. I'll go act like crazy and do all these crazy things. And I'll do a small group. I'll do a Bible study. I'll lead a Bible study, whatever, and just hope that in the end, a lot of those programs and a lot of those that striving made disciples. And by God's grace, I think, you know, it does. But what would it look like if we really thought about trying to look at how did Jesus do this and then focus on that? And that's what I really want us to kind of look at. And Dave, in some ways, I think, I don't know exactly what he's going to talk about, but I think in some ways it's going to be a part two of this tomorrow. But I want us to look at some things about Jesus and how he did this. So Mark chapter 3, I pick this passage, and there's just a neat little part here. I think we could look, really, it's a survey of Jesus' entire ministry that I want to kind of talk about. But I think there's some things in this passage that kind of jump out to me that I want to talk just a little bit about. And I'm going to have to kind of go through these somewhat quick for the sake of time. But number one, if we want to become a group of people who are focusing on Jesus, he's at the center, and we're loving him, loving others, and we're making disciples, then we're going to call people to Jesus. That seems kind of maybe easy to say, but Jesus always was calling people to follow him. In Mark 1, he said, "Follow me," to Simon and Andrew. In Mark 2, he said, "Follow me," to Levi. In Luke 9, he said, "Follow me," and they said, "Well, I got to go bury my father and say goodbye to my family." in Luke 18, he tells people to follow him, and they were unwilling because they had to. Jesus told them they needed to sell everything that he had. The call is always the same to follow Jesus, and the same is true today. And so our job is not to convert people, and it is to really get in conversations with people where we call people not to follow us, but we call people to follow Jesus. And so Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I know I read that for a long time, and I thought, man, that's kind of arrogant of him to say that. Follow me as I follow Christ. But then I realized, you know, that's not arrogant. What he was saying was that don't just follow me, but follow me as I follow Christ. I'm going to point you to him. I'm going to take you to Jesus. And so when we think about living out this Great Commission and making disciples, there is an element in which we all will have to call people to follow Jesus. And so that may look in different, take different forms in different times and places. You know, in the traditional church, it's oftentimes by a guy up front calling people down forward to begin walking with Jesus. But in simple church, there is not necessarily an altar call. So it's going to be us having conversations with people where we at some point say, will you follow Jesus? Would you start following him? I would love to help you with that. We're going to have to take ownership of giving those invitations to people. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4. He said, for when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned each to his task, I planted the seed, Apollo watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, but it was with this understanding that I am nobody. You don't be pumping me up here. Don't be building me up as to be this holy man. Follow God. Follow Christ. And he was very well aware. And I think that's the attitude that we take. And so be encouraged, because God doesn't want you to make a disciple of you. And I think that's why a lot of times when I was in college, I had some bad run-ins with people making disciples, because it seemed like they wanted me to become disciples of them and dress like them. And a lot of the people that were their disciples ended up talking like them and going through the same book study that they had. And it was like this kind of weird thing. And I was like, I don't want to be involved with discipleship if that's what it is. And I think that you know, that was probably, you know, I was immature at the time, but God can use that. But a lot of times I think we don't feel qualified. I can't invite people to follow Jesus because we think in our minds we're inviting them to follow me, to become my disciple, become a disciple of Gavin, a disciple of Josh, a disciple of Katie. And that seems intimidating, so we don't even invite people into it. But be encouraged. He doesn't want people to become your disciple. He wants them to become a disciple of his. You can't be a superstar, all right? But it begins with and just calling people to follow him. Now, secondly, Jesus in this passage, it says he went on the mountainside and he called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. And then in the next part, it says he called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. And I think that there's this idea that there are certain people that Jesus are wanting. He is wanting to become his disciples. And so this is important, because there is an intentionality when we involve Jesus. Like he's intentional about certain people that he wants. And so he wanted to be with these people. He called them to him. He wanted to be with them. They came to him. There were others that he didn't want, maybe in a sense, at that particular time. So he was intentional with a select group of people. And those select group of people were going to experience him in ways that other people weren't going to get to at that time. And so the question becomes, if we're going to be a part of this like Jesus did, then we're going to have to be intentional about who we invest in. And so how do we decide that? How does this look? Who does God want you to be intentional about investing in? Well, this is where, again, listening to the Father, hearing his voice, becomes so important. Because God may want you to invest in some people that you wouldn't necessarily think he would. And so who are those people? And I always like to add, and I think that I've learned about this journey so far, is that for married couples, this is very important that you discuss this together. Who are the people that Jesus wants for your family? Who is he wanting your family to reach? Who is he wanting the both of you to reach? Because you're not like Jesus in the sense that now you're married, you're one. So who are you guys as a couple, as a family, going to reach? And the good news is that you don't have to decide this. You don't have to decide. Jesus will decide that for you. So wherever we go, we're scattering the seed. We're calling people to follow Jesus. We're calling all kinds of people. Many of the people Jesus called, they didn't follow. But we call people to follow him. We invite people to follow Jesus. And there will be some that will want to. And there'll probably be a whole lot more that won't. I just had a lunch with the guys a couple this week, and we were talking about this very thing. And he said, I bet if I asked 50 people, one person would be interested in following Jesus. If I took a list of 50 people that I know and I went to every single one of them and I sat down and said, are you interested in following Jesus and learning more about him? I'd love to help you do that. He said, I'd probably get 49 rejections, but I bet I'd get one person that would want to. And the hard part is that involves 49 rejections, right? But if we sow abundantly and we don't try to pick and choose, we just, everyone we encounter, we figure out a way. As we get to know them, we invite them to follow Jesus. The ones that want, those are the people that God probably, most likely, wants us to be involved in discipling and discipleship with. And 2 Timothy 2, he said, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Again, there's an intentionality there. It's not just anybody, but it's faithful men. When you scatter the seed, who ends up being faithful? Thirdly, we're going to emphasize growing in obedience. It says Jesus went up on the mountainside, he called to them those he wanted, and they came to him. John 14:21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one that loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. So when we think about a group of people, what are we doing? We're helping people learn to obey Jesus, not just fill their head with knowledge. And that's something that I think a lot of times we really struggle with. And those of us that have been doing this for a while, we know we sit down the first few weeks and I give my best four devotions that I've got in my hip pocket. And week five, I'm done. I don't have anything else to say. I looked good for 4 weeks, but what am I going to say to people now to make them keep coming back? Because we have this idea that when we have, again, it's about the program, and when we get together, there's going to be someone who's going to have an awesome message. But when we think about simple church and the Christian life being primarily about helping people learn to obey Jesus and not just fill their head with facts and impressive information about him, then it really can free all of us up to embrace this journey together. And we realize it's not, most of us we're educated beyond our obedience. You know, me and Matt Wheeler were talking about that over the last weekend, and it's true. We know so much, but we're having a hard time. We can't, follow the basic things that we know, but we know infinitely more about these passages that we can't follow. So how do we help people learn to obey Jesus? And that's what Jesus, the Great Commission, teach them to obey Jesus. One of the things that is, I think, is really interesting is that Jesus, he doesn't require his disciples to be the best educated, the most wealthy, the most prominent, a particular age or even gender, but they are all expected to obey out of love. In connecting other people to Jesus, we will help channel others' love for him toward obedience as we ourselves obey. And the beautiful thing about this journey is that it's not just the top 10% that get to play, but all of us get to play. And we can, because what we're trying to do is help people obey as we obey, all right? It's not purely an academic pursuit. And so the relationships will be our method. When we look at Jesus' way of making disciples, relationships were his method. He appointed the 12 that they might be with him. And that's really, really important. Again, it's not about an academic pursuit as much as it is a relational pursuit. And the academics come along with that. But he called these 12 to be with them. And so when we think about the people God's going to put in our lives in Simple Church, it's going to involve spending a lot of time with people. Relationships will be the method. Jesus was a person, his method was personal involvement. He called his disciples to be with him, to go on trips, prayer retreats, times of worship, eating, sailing, healing, casting out demons, fishing expeditions. They were together in deserts, cities, synagogues, homes, wedding feasts, and funerals. They shared their life with each other. He gave himself with all of his heart. He didn't hold back in sharing personally his deepest challenges and temptations. Jesus brought his disciples close to him in friendship, and then he told them they weren't his servants, but they were going to be his friends. And so the objection a lot of us come here with is that, man, that sounds like a lot of time. I don't have time to do. I mean, I've got my kids. We homeschool, or we got neighbors. We got mom that's sick and all this. How can I possibly have time? And a lot of times when we think about the Great Commission, again, and sometimes the box can promote this, like, well, that's okay if you don't have the time because we can do that for you. You just give us some of the money and we'll handle that Great Commission piece for you. You can feel good about that. And sometimes that is maybe all that we can do. But I think that God wants us to be involved in making disciples like He did. And Simple Church is about that. It's about spending time with people. And so it's not going to be easy, but it is going to involve reprioritizing our lives at times. How are we going to spend our time? And we let God be in charge of that. And so relationships was the method. And so also He provided on-the-job training. Jesus said that He pointed them to be with Him, that He might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. And one big thing about what we're trying to encourage here is that we're not just making disciples. We want to be able to make disciples who can then turn around and make other disciples. And so that's a big, big part of what Simple Church is all about. I heard it said that organic things reproduce, non-organic things produce. And so a coffee maker can make coffee, but it can't make other coffee makers, right? But a tree can make other trees because it's organic, it's living, it's a living thing. And that's what the church is supposed to be. His people should be producing other disciples, and it should be producing other churches. And so many times maybe that doesn't happen. But when we think about sending people out, giving people responsibility, giving them opportunities for on-the-job training, that's what Jesus did, and there's a lot of great examples of that. We don't have time to go through them all, but one thing we can know is that the Holy Spirit will be in charge of that and teaching people and leading people when we send them out. We don't have to be fretful or worried that God's not capable of handling them, that they need us to hold their hand the whole way. We can observe and we can do like Jesus did in Luke chapter 10 when He sent them out in pairs and He said, come back and we'll talk about it. We can give other people opportunities to make disciples and trust that Jesus, His Holy Spirit, will lead people into all understanding. And that's something that we really have to trust, because otherwise we'll end up trying to control things, we'll end up trying to make sure we're in charge, and there probably will not be a lot of on-the-job training. It'll get bottlenecked in what God maybe would want to do. And so lastly here, I want to just kind of share this thought with you, is that we will inspire people. I think one thing that Jesus did was that He inspired people. Discipleship is about inspiring people. Simple Church is about inspiring people, helping people to know that they can do it, that this is not just an accountability group. Jesus got His 12 disciples together, and He didn't say, I'm going to try to make sure that you guys are, you know, your life is impeccable and you don't sin anymore by the time I leave, and that you won't make any mistakes. But Jesus said, He was inspirational. And I've often thought about the Great Commission, even in light of a football coach taking some kid who's been on the side of the bench and he's never been allowed to play in the game, but the quarterback gets hurt and it's the district championship and he's scrawny and he's little and he's a freshman, and the coach brings that guy over and gets him in the face mask, and there's one drive left to go to win the district tournament, and that coach grabs that face mask and he looks in there at that kid's eyes and he says to him, now listen, I want you to get in there and I want you to go out there and win this game. I'm sending you out there. Believe in yourself. You know, and he fires him up. If you've ever seen any good sports movies, you can kind of get that picture, right? Well, I think that's kind of what Jesus did when He gave that Great Commission. When He spoke that to us, it was inspirational. I mean, can you imagine being there and Jesus saying, now listen, I'm leaving, but I want you to know something. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me, and I'm putting you in the game. Now I want you to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching people to obey all that I've commanded. And I will be with you to the end of the age. That was inspirational. That was believing in people. And I think a big part of what we're going to be doing, if we're going to make disciples like Jesus did, is that we're going to be believing in people to be able to do the work that God has called them to do. To trust them, to know that God is able to watch over and protect them. God is able to use them. Speaking life into people. When we get together as the church, whether it's over coffee or around a dinner table, then when we leave there, I believe that Jesus would have us to encourage and to build up each other and inspire each other to keep following him. And that's why the church from day one, when it got to you read the New Testament, the number one thing they did was encourage one another, encourage one another. Don't give up meeting together, as some of you in the habit of doing, so that you may be mutually encouraged, right? Because everything about this world and about Satan is discouraging. But he wants us to be his hands and feet and mouthpiece to speak life into people, to believe in people. And I don't know if you've ever had anyone believe in you or not, but man, it's incredibly affirming when someone says, I believe that you can do this. And that's what Simple Church should be about.
You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a Simple Church podcast. Or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.